This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age: wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's joinmidi.com.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
SoCal's Country Station, 95.1 K-Frog. I'm Pepper. This is Spirit of the IE. It's been over 6 years since the horrific mass shooting at the Route 91 Harvest Festival in Las Vegas. Dr. Morgan Jean Craig Belknap is a Route 91 survivor who has channeled her healing process into becoming a doctor of social work and a licensed family therapist. She calls herself the Doctor in Cowboy Boots and has just published a collection of poems called Retired Boots. Thank you for joining me.
Absolutely. It's so nice to be here. Thank you for inviting me on here.
Dr. Morgan, start by telling us your story.
Absolutely. Obviously, my story started a long time ago with the shooting. And unfortunately, as you kind of shared a little bit, that was the beginning of my big healing journey. And it didn't start out as a healing journey. Obviously, it started out as a big point of pain for myself. I struggled a lot with dealing with, you know, just kind of the aftermath after the shooting happened. Like a lot of people here, even in the IE, you know, we just kind of came back and it felt like we were trying to pick up the pieces of just what had happened and the brokenness that had happened. And, you know, I am a huge fan of country music. Country music is my heart. And so going somewhere and then, you know, just being ripped to pieces emotionally of, you know, this experience, it just kind of tore me apart, for lack of better words. And so my story kind of evolved a little bit. I went to therapy and tried to, you know, figure out what this healing journey would look like. And so I invested a lot of time, emotional energy, all the things. And I finally realized that the only way that I was going to get past this or even get through this was going to be turning my pain into passion and doing something that I really had a strong heart for. So I was in my bachelor's degree at the time. So I stayed in school, even though I wanted to just kind of quit and just, you know, hide under a blanket and just stay away from the world forever. That's what I wanted to do. But I didn't, because I knew that it was still, the world was going to be there out there. No matter how long it took me to get through the pain, the world was going to be there and I had to get out. And so I went back out into the world, finished my bachelor's, decided I want to get my master's, went back again, decided I wanted to get my doctorate. And, you know, I just decided that I wanted to just really invest myself fully in, you know, helping other people heal on their healing journey. So this kind of evolved a little bit in the sense of I wanted originally to be a marriage and family therapist, and that was my one thing that I wanted to do. I decided, okay, you know, one-on-one, you know, just like how I had received help from my therapist, I wanted to help others in that way. And so I did that for a little while, and my heart just felt so full of just continued pain that I was, you know, taking all of everyone else's pain on, you know, along with my own pain. And so I understood that, okay, you know, I need to pivot a little bit. I need to change my direction. And that's perfectly okay. You know, we're allowed to kind of pivot and we're allowed to make new decisions and new paths for our life. So that's what I did. And so I, you know, went in with my doctorate, and now I have my own company, my own brand called Healing Not Healed. And what I do basically is I do workshops, I do events, I'm working on retreats, conferences, things like that in the future. I also sell wellness and self-care products because the biggest goal that I have is just to make people feel a little bit less alone. And so instead of that one-on-one capacity of helping people feel less alone, now I wanted it to be in a community setting because I knew that I was also needing the healing from that community setting as well. That, you know, it wasn't just me and one person. And so kind of fast forward a little bit to the main reason why I'm here. It was February 14th. I'm not sure if you're familiar that there was, unfortunately, another mass shooting, you know, with the Kansas City Chiefs parade. And that experience was on Valentine's Day. And I came home from, you know, just kind of my work day tasks. And I was talking to my husband about it. And I was crying and just kind of deep in emotional hurt. And here I am, therapist, all this schooling behind me, all these years behind me after the shooting. And I was still hurting. I was still broken, feeling like I was falling apart after, you know, hearing that there was yet another shooting. Because every time I hear that another person is having to deal with the pain and the trauma that I've had to deal with, you know, a different flavor of it, but still the same trauma, it breaks my heart. And so I was, you know, feeling really broken that night. And I was talking to my husband and I kind of went through this weird little kind of phase and I asked my husband, do you want to like read some poems? And he just kind of was like, what are you talking about? He's like, yeah, of course, like I'll do anything. And so I said, okay. So I start pulling up all these poems I had of just different experiences that I had just kind of had regarding the shooting over the years. And so after, you know, me in my head, I was thinking like, okay, maybe I have 3 to 5 poems. I started finding them through different, you know, different notes apps, through actual notebooks, journals and stuff. I had over a dozen and I was like, wow, like, you know, maybe I need to do something with this. And after he read them, he told me, he calls me MJ. He was like, MJ, you need to publish this and you need to get this out there. And, you know, my thing that I say is like, well, I don't know if people like want to hear this. And he said, well, people need to hear this because if this helps them feel just a little bit less broken, then that's your life's mission. That's what you're already trying to do. And through this book of poetry, like you can help people feel a little bit less alone and feel like they're hurting a little bit less maybe. And so I said, yeah, you know, you're right. Let's do this thing. And so in the months since February 14th, so it really hasn't been that long ago, I just kind of pedaled to the metal and put this book together. And it was all so organic, like none of it felt forced, like, oh, okay, I have to write, you know, 10 more poems or anything like that. It just felt so organic. So I came up with about 4 dozen poems and maybe a little less, but quite a few poems. And I categorized them into the stages of grief because I have that therapeutic background. And something that I've understood about trauma and helping people with trauma is that trauma is similar to grief in the sense that there's all these stages that we kind of cycle through. And the thing that I wanted to really make come across with the book is that these are not linear stages that happen, that they come and they go. And one morning you wake up and, you know, it's a great day. It's a beautiful day. The sun is shining. And then, you know, something happens. And then all of a sudden you're crying and it feels like the world is kind of caving in on you. And then you get angry. Like all of these stages are just so non-linear. And it's something that I really wanted to kind of like portray that with the book. So now fast forward to here we are today and it's published, it's out there and people have actually bought it. And, you know, it's not even about the money for me. It's just about the fact that people will hear the side of my story. People will read these poems and, you know, hopefully connect and will not hopefully, you know, that they would connect with the meaning of it, but that they would feel something and that it would make them just feel something in connection with the content. And so one important thing that I really was wanting to come across in the book was that it doesn't necessarily, you could know people that have gone through a mass shooting. You could not know people. You could have experienced it secondarily. If you were a parent or a friend or someone, you know, that you loved was out there, like you could have that experience or you could not have that experience. But this was written that whether you do or you don't, that you have some way to connect and understand the experience of someone that has gone through this. And that was something that was really important to me because here we are all these years later since the shooting and I still feel all these things so intensely. And that's really difficult to just kind of grasp onto. And sometimes, you know, I feel like if people wonder like, why is she still talking about this? It's been all these years later. And if other people are thinking that, or maybe, you know, that's just the, you know, the negative talk in my head, you know, trying to push these works down within me. But I'm channeling against that, you know, we need to talk about it, because February, these things are still happening and people are still hurting. And that's what I want to help people with. I want people to feel less alone. I want people to feel more connected. So this book has been just a beautiful outpouring of emotion and just vulnerability. It's very raw and very real. And I'm just going to be honest that if it could be triggering for you, that, you know, maybe it's not the right book for you to, you know, look out at this stage of your healing journey, but that's okay. You know, there's different times and this book will be out there forever now. And so if at some point it is, you know, something that you think would be helpful or beneficial for your healing journey, then I'm so excited that it will be out there for people as a resource of just connection and healing with other people. So my business, Healing Not Healed, basically, like I shared a little bit before, it's just that concept of helping people understand that, you know, that they're on a constant healing journey, that there's no healed, there's no, I have arrived at my healing. And I think that that's also the main mission that I really wanted to just kind of hit home with regarding this book and just kind of my mission and really just me as a human, my heart of hearts. It's to help people feel like they don't have to be fit into this box. They don't have to check the boxes of, okay, you know, I did the healing thing and, you know, now I'm good. Now I'm good to go. And so it's just kind of like understanding that. But this book is, you know, one piece of that. And, you know, I really wanted to make sure that I shared that with the world and just kind of combine those things, that my efforts are not only within this book, but within, you know, a multitude of things. And so Retired Boots, that's the name of the book. I don't know if I mentioned it yet or not, but Retired Boots, a collection of poems from a Route 91 survivor. And so the cover of the book actually is illustrated from an artist. His name is Tikva. He is all the way across the country, found him on Instagram. Instagram's funny that way. And he drew a full collection of art for this book. And so almost every single poem has an art piece that kind of like channels with it. And so the cover is actually a pair of my cowboy boots that I wore on that night of the shooting, and that 5 years later when I returned to Vegas for the first time and retraced those steps. I had gone to Vegas again within those times, but I hadn't gone with the intention of retracing my steps and making it a memorial event. And so I got my Route 91 memorial tattoo that trip as well. But I put those boots on for the last time. I walked the same steps that I walked that night of the shooting. And I was with someone different when the shooting happened. But now I had my husband with me. And that was so cathartic and just vulnerable to take those steps with him and say, this is where I ran. This is where I hid. This is the hotel room that I barged into and had no idea what I was walking into, but I had to because I just hoped that it would be safer than whatever was out there. And I walked those steps. So those boots, I metaphorically, you know, retired them. I will never wear them again. And that is something that I wanted to do for myself. And that was something that was really important to this book, is having those same boots on the cover to understand that note of, okay, you know, walking that healing journey and retracing those steps and kind of like getting a piece of myself back that I had lost that night and felt empowered and resilient that, okay, I'm taking this back. This is my life. I'm taking my life back. So the beauty within that, it was incredible. It was incredible. And so when you see the book, it'll have those boots. And that's kind of the story behind the boots on the cover.
Do you still own those boots?
I do. Yes. Yeah. I have a collection of Route 91 memorial things. It's a couple of things. K-Frog actually had an event, multiple events, actually. And, you know, during those events, they handed things out, wristbands, bracelets, ribbons, things like that. And so I keep all of those things together, and the boots are there with them in a memorial in my home.
Something that I learned over these years of talking to Route 91 survivors is that it's not necessarily fair to compare people's traumas.
Correct.
It's not fair to make a comparison between someone who is literally dodging bullets and mm-hmm. someone who had already left the festival when things happened, because mm-hmm. I'm sure that is also a very traumatic. I realize this now. That's mm-hmm. also a traumatic thing to realize how close you came mm-hmm. to something like that. Do you agree with that?
Absolutely. They're so different, you know, and I've met people just through the journey. And sometimes there's that survivor's guilt that happens, you know, of people that left early and, you know, feeling like, wow, you know, I left early. Like, do I still get to like consider myself part of like that community? And it's a community of healing. And there's not a criteria of, okay, you had to be here at this time, you know. All of the people that were there all weekend, you know, I mean, it was Friday night, it was Saturday night, it was some incredible, incredible artists that I would say some of their best performances that I loved, you know. I think it was Saturday night, it was Eric Church, and he was incredible, and I loved hearing his songs and everything, and just beautiful, beautiful experiences to then have the whole weekend tarnished by, you know, one incredibly difficult to even comprehend event. And so all of it is combined. I totally agree that we all have different types of traumas related to it. And there's none that's any greater or worse than the other. You know, I mean, I've talked to people that, you know, have had different experiences of being hurt, of loss, of love, you know, like all of those things. And that night I sprained my foot, just kind of escaping the chaos, jumping off of different things. So then, you know, there was a part of my own healing journey where I thought, wow, you know, I didn't have to go to the hospital right away. So maybe my story doesn't like count as much, but it does. You know, I have all the pain and the grief and everything to prove it, for lack of better words. But yeah,
I want to back up a little bit.
Yeah,
did you have an inkling prior to Route 91 that you wanted to become a therapist, or was that something that occurred to you just in the aftermath of everything that happened?
Yeah, so I was originally interested in psychology. So I loved psychology. I loved, you know, people's brains, you know, talking about people's brains and stuff, just kind of, you know, the human interaction. I loved that. But I didn't quite know if I wanted to be a therapist or not. It just didn't really like cross my mind. To be honest, I had never been to therapy prior to Route 91. So it was one of those things where I actually, you know, had a little bit of stigma surrounding therapy of, well, you know, I haven't had anything, you know, quote, bad happen to me. You know, I've had a lot of life experience, don't get me wrong, that, you know, wasn't always good, but nothing where I was like, oh, yes, I need to go to therapy for this reason. And so because of that, I just didn't have a connection with therapy. And so once I, you know, experienced therapy and realized like what it was, then I decided like, okay, this is, you know, something that is really impactful and, you know, a lot of people need. And now I am of the belief that everybody could benefit from therapy, and, you know, maybe not long-term therapy, but, you know, even just like a little bit, like everybody has a little something that, you know, they've experienced in their life that's something to kind of work through. But yes, I did not have this inkling of being a therapist prior.
I'm speaking with Dr. Morgan Jean Craig Belknap, a Route 91 survivor and author of the book of poems called Retired Boots. What would you say is the inspiration behind this book?
So the inspiration was wanting to help people connect, was mostly wanting to help people connect and wanting to help people feel just a little bit less broken. And even a quote that I put within the book was something, I'm just paraphrasing now, but it was something to the effect of, I hope that you don't relate to this book, but unfortunately, I know you will relate to this book. Mm-hmm. And so that was the main inspiration of connecting people with something that is not necessarily fun to talk about or a light conversation, but it's needed. And, you know, it's something that is unfortunately still a very real part of our world. And so it was something that I wanted to inspire others in the sense of, this is what resilience looks like. This is what healing looks like.
You said that healing isn't linear. Did you find along the way of your healing process that sometimes it felt like you were taking two steps forward and one step back? What did that process look like for you?
Absolutely. So it was, wow, my healing journey was just so confusing. I think the first year was ultimately, it was really rough. And that first year of healing was actually just kind of rough for me in general, dealing with different things in my own life. I think it was like those first couple years that I dealt with a really difficult breakup. And so that was hard, you know. But there was also, you know, the component of, okay, October 1st, you know, everyone, you know, kind of comes around and supports. And, you know, there's all these events. And then October 2nd. And I would feel right back where I was October 2nd, 2017, you know, the day after. And it's just kind of, one of my poems actually talks about that, of just that feeling of like, wow, everybody's forgotten about all of this now. Like, everybody's forgotten now. And so that was something that was really difficult for me to kind of work through, of experiencing all of this support. And then all of a sudden, you know, now I'm, you know, metaphorically, like, by myself, even though I was not by myself. I have a wonderful family that's been very supportive and very loving, and, you know, wonderful friends and just community, so much community that I feel so grateful for. And I also felt so alone. And the thing about PTSD is that post-traumatic stress disorder is that it just initiates a withdrawal within you. And I think that that's the hardest battle to fight when you're dealing with something, and when you're trying to work through trauma, work through pain, and you're just also at the same time wanting to withdraw. I kind of, like, you know, make this comparison of, it almost feels like werewolf, like being a werewolf, right? Like, okay, the, you know, the full moon's coming around and I need to go hide myself because I don't want to emotionally, like, hurt anyone else, because PTSD brings up feelings of just, like, I'm, like, short, or, you know, rude, or just kind of, like, just cranky, like, all those things. And so it was like that cycle of, like, okay, you know, some sort of reminders coming up, and now I'm going to go isolate myself, which is the worst thing that you can do when you're dealing with this, is because you need community. You need community to help remind you of the resilience that you have within you. And I think, looking backwards, I see all of the pieces of growth. And so during those moments, I would think, like, oh gosh, I thought I was healed already. I thought I was so much further along than I was. You know, something as simple as, like, Disneyland fireworks. I can't tell you how many times in the last 6 years I've broken down crying. You know, I'd go to a Ducks game right there next to the fireworks, forgot about the fireworks on a, you know, whatever it is, any sort of night, and then would end up in tears because I was, you know, very overactively triggered. You know, small things where I'd think, like, wow, you know, even, I think it was last year, that Angels game, they had a Route 91, like, Country Strong type event, and they had fireworks. And I thought, oh,
know your audience.
Yeah, exactly. Know your audience, please, you know. And it was, again, you know, there was, like, a concert too, and I had to leave the concert early. Like, all those things where it's like, I think, like, wow, I took so many steps back. But now, like, being able to share my story and not just burst into tears, like, right now, I'm going to classify this as a growth moment for me, that I'm able to talk about this and I'm not, you know, shaking and feeling really scared. And if I was, that would be okay too. But I can be really proud of myself and, you know, say that I have done a lot of growth in these last, you know, over 6 years. And there's been many non-linear parts of that healing. And I've just had to give myself so much grace for that, because it's very easy to not give yourself grace and to just say, like, I should be healed by now, I should be better by now. But that's just not the truth. That's not real life. And that's something that I've learned through my own healing and, you know, just being a therapist and seeing other people's healing journey. And so it's something that I've, you know, really just kind of grown through.
You sit in traffic now, but later there's an ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age: wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things, like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. MIDI clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. MIDI offers accessible care, All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's joinmidi.com.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
I'm speaking with Dr. Morgan Jean Craig Belknap, a Route 91 survivor who has written a book of poems called Retired Boots. What's your goal with this book?
So my main goal is to, one, I want a lot of people to get this book and just kind of have it in their hands and read it and connect with it. My other big goal is to do a book tour. And I have a couple spots that I've been working through. And one of them was with a boutique that I'm a part of through my brand. And it's called Local Gem Collective in Orange County. They've been so incredible in helping me just kind of be my first book tour spot. And so that's been really special. And so I have more lined up that I'm working on, but my big goal is to go really all over the country with this book and to go to different places where they would connect with this all over, because unfortunately, this whole country has experienced this topic of healing from a mass shooting. And so my big goal is to just take this all across the country and help people relate to it and connect with people and meet people and, you know, just have conversations. I love community so much. I love meeting people. I love talking to people. And whether it's within the country community or within another community experiencing this sort of tragedy, I want to connect and I want to help them just feel a little bit less broken.
Tell us about that book tour.
Yes, this book tour has been something, and it started out as just this kind of crazy dream where I was like, oh yeah, you know, maybe I'll do a book tour. And it's been piecing together and it's been really exciting because it's something that, you know, I've been working on just kind of building some different pieces together, getting some spots secured and meeting people and, okay, you know, are you okay with this date? It's a lot of coordination, you know, and right now I'm a one woman show when it comes to my business and the book and all that. Eventually I want to like have a whole team of us, but for now it's just me and that's okay. But, you know, this book tour is really exciting because it's a way for me to just kind of connect with other people to share this story and for them to hear a little piece of mine and then also invite them to maybe share their resilience story to, you know, feel connected with this idea of resilience. And all of the book tour details can actually be found on my website, healingnothealed.com. And so it's just healingnothealed.com. And it's the main hub of all my information. You can find where to buy the book on there. You can find all my book tour information. I have a full Western and wellness, you know, self-care, that sort of thing. Merch shop with different things on there. And so all of the things Healing Not Healed and the Doctor and Cowgirl Boots, all of that can be found on healingnothealed.com.
I love that we are doing this interview far away from the anniversary of Route 91. Is it important to commemorate those anniversaries, but is it also okay to realize at random moments throughout the year that, and to acknowledge that this is something that you went through?
Absolutely. So I actually, a couple of years ago, I worked with a company that I was a part of, and we did a Route 91 memorial event. And I actually did an interview here with you, and that was beautiful and incredible to just kind of share, you know, a little snapshot of that. But, you know, I was so excited to share a little bit more of my story, and especially because that event was, I think it was the day before or a couple days before the actual anniversary. And it was very important for me to celebrate that anniversary, and I celebrate the anniversary every year. You know, that's something that's a really big important piece to me. I originally, you know, I would think like, okay, you know, I just gotta go to work, it's gotta be a normal day. And now I don't, you know, it's my own awkward holiday, you know, that I celebrate where I don't work on it. I'm very diligent about that. And what I actually do on the anniversary is I go from memorial site to memorial site, and we have a couple of them here in the IE, and I bring flowers. I bring purple and orange flowers. Those are the colors of the Route 91 Memorial. And so I have my little routine. I go to Trader Joe's, I get my flowers, and I go to the memorial sites. I start with the one in Riverside, and then there's also one in Redlands, and then there's one in Corona locally. And then there's more, but those are the ones that I try to go to. And what I do in that time is I check out those memorials. I read every single name on the plaques that are there to honor the lives that were lost that night. And I just kind of check in with myself. And it's so important to have that moment of just kind of connection and groundedness of myself, because I could very easily make it a day like any other day and, okay, you know, it's fine. Oh, you know, it's a tough day. But I do it differently because it's all about taking that power back. It's about, you know, making it a different type of day of just kind of checking in on myself, that 364 days of the year, I'm focusing on everything else. And that one day that my entire life changed, I'm allowed to go back and take a break and think about those things. And so I love that you brought up that, you know, here we are midway through the year and we're talking about this instead of, you know, around, you know, end of September, October 1st. And I actually thought about that, of waiting to publish the book until that time. And I'm just going to be real, like, that kind of season, really from September up until mid-October, it's a rough time for me. And I do still do stuff that's, you know, related to my business, to my work, all those things. I do still do memorial events. I do still, you know, do speaking engagements. I do still do things. However, I'm trying to also bring up the topic and, you know, just bring up my story all the other days of the year too, because the truth of the matter is that this is my story now. This is my life. And this is something that I'm experiencing every single day. And although other people may not think about this, you know, tragedy every single day of their lives, I can honestly say that I've thought about the shooting every single day of my life since it happened. And that's sometimes kind of hard to just kind of say because it sucks. Mm-hmm. And it's hard to just kind of fathom, but it's just the truth of the matter. And, you know, I can put a positive spin on it and say, well, yes, but I'm healing. And, you know, I just got to keep it real. Like, you know, it sucks sometimes. And, you know, nightmares suck and re-traumatization sucks. You know, like all those things are just difficult and they're hard. And you notice I say and instead of but most of the time, because all these things can coexist, you know, and I think that that's something that I've also kind of learned along the way. But yeah, here we are, you know, midway through the year and we're talking about it. And I'm grateful that people care to listen to it, that people care to talk about it midway through the year, that it's not just a memorial thing that people just check off their box of like, oh, yeah, you know, I thought about those people during that time. It's like, no, like, you know, this affected so many people in so many different ways. And we got to keep talking about it.
Is it okay to not be okay?
Absolutely. Absolutely. It is okay to not be okay. And I wouldn't even be able to tell you how many times I've, you know, not been okay during this whole journey of healing. And, you know, I think sometimes we kind of force ourselves to try to be okay even when we're not. And it's pressure that we put on ourselves. And, you know, I think something that I try to look into, and like I just kind of briefly said, was replacing but with and. And, you know, instead of saying, yeah, you know, this is really hard, but I'm doing better, it's like, yeah, this is really hard and I'm doing better. And just that small little shift is that, like, it's me allowing myself to let those things coexist, me allowing myself to feel just a little bit allowed to have these feelings, because there are still some days that I am just not okay and that things are really hard. And, you know, I feel triggered, or I feel, you know, like something is just kind of hitting me the wrong way, and it's just difficult. And the other thing that's really interesting and that I touch on within the book is that, unfortunately, and kind of interestingly, you know, I talked about how I love the brain and stuff, but the brain is very interesting in the sense that, like, our senses give us so many reminders of past experiences. And so within the book, I try to be very vivid about sensory things, like smells that I remember smelling that night and that still are difficult for me. And small things like that, where it's like, really? Like, is that really bugging you? Yeah, you know? And it's that understanding of, okay, I need to kind of like figure out how I can function from day to day while not being okay. Because I don't have to be okay. Most of the time I do have to get up and do my things. You know, I have two beautiful bonus kiddos that I have in my life. And, you know, it, like, time just doesn't stop. Like, we don't just stop. Like, we have to show up for people. We have to show up for, I have to, you know, show up for my husband, show up for my kids, like, show up for myself. And the world doesn't stop. So it's just understanding, like, how do I get through these things and how do I work through these things while not being okay?
What would you say to someone who is just now realizing that maybe they need some additional help?
Absolutely. The main thing is, you are not alone. You are not alone. I wish I could scream that from the rooftops, because I think we all need to hear it. And when we feel alone, we get into that like withdraw cycle, and then we feel like we're stuck and that nobody, you know, is able to help us. And it's just like this vicious cycle, and it's a lie because we're not alone. And, you know, we feel like we need to be alone. We feel we need to protect ourselves from the world. Like, but we don't. Like, we're allowed to be human and talk to people and have connection. And I would encourage, you know, somebody that's just now realizing that they're not okay, first steps to make sure that they seek some sort of professional help, you know, whether that's with therapy, if they feel more comfortable, at least starting out with their MD, you know, their medical doctor, whoever they see on a regular basis, like, or even, you know, if they're, you know, in the church, like going the, you know, through that route, like there's so many different ways of healing. And now I understand that healing is whole body. So it's not just my mental health. It's my physical health. It's my spiritual health. It's my emotional health. It's all of the pieces together. And that's what helps us become healthier and just the healthiest version of ourselves and to become the best version of whatever, you know, quote, okay is. But I think it's very intentional of at least starting with whatever way is most comfortable, because there's no right or wrong answer. And we do need some sort of support. So just seeking that support, even, you know, a good friend of like, hey, I'm struggling. Remember that thing 6 years ago? Yeah, I'm not okay. And I think maybe sometimes people feel like, okay, it's been too long, you know, like the expiration date of I should be better by now has already passed. Like, no, it hasn't. And some people do say like, oh yeah, you know, it doesn't affect me anymore. And I'm not going to comment on other people's healing journey. I just can speak for myself. And I know that that's not an experience that I have. And truthfully, I don't necessarily know how much truth comes with that, because there's still components and pieces that, you know, it's like a scar. It's like, it's always there. And, you know, whether or not like we still feel like the pain that surrounded it, it's still a scar and it's still there.
How can those of us who are not at Route 91 support our loved ones who were?
Absolutely. That's a great question. So support, I think, is just offering space. And this is actually another one of the poems that I wrote. It talks about how it kind of starts out. It's kind of a back and forth thing. And it starts out with this projection of, I don't want to be around anybody. I don't want to talk to anybody. Nobody understands what I experience. And it's kind of like anger. And then there's like, you know, some like turning point where it starts out as like, or it switches off to like, wow, like maybe I just need someone to sit with me. And maybe that would just like do the world for me. And I think that that's really what we can do for our loved ones that are struggling, is just sit with them, just talk to them and, you know, give them space and, you know, give them validation and remind them like, it doesn't matter how long ago this experience happened to you, you are still allowed to feel it. And it's okay if you're still hurting. It's, you know, this experience where you're going to be, you know, just offering an ear to someone will do wonders.
I've been speaking with Dr. Morgan Jean Craig Belknap, a Route 91 survivor and author of a book of poems called Retired Boots. How can we learn more about your story?
The main way to kind of like understand, or excuse me, to learn a little bit more about me is through my website. So healingnothealed.com, that's the best way to kind of get in contact with all things through me. I am on Instagram. I'm Healing Not Healed. And I'm also have another page that's The Doctor in Cowgirl Boots. And I'm both of those accounts are mine. And I share a lot about my story. I give a lot of different pieces of myself. I also do speaking engagements, and I'm trying to get out into the world a little bit more and just to kind of share my story, because I do want to inspire resilience within others. But that's the best way to get to know me a little bit more.
And how would you like us to get your book?
I am on Amazon, and you can buy directly through my website. If you buy directly through my website, I can guarantee that I will sign it for you. Through Amazon, I cannot do that as of yet. But for now, if you buy through my website, I will sign it for you and just kind of share some little nugget of my love and resilient inspiration. And yeah, that would be the best way to kind of purchase it.
Thank you so much for coming in today. Thank you for speaking with us. And thank you for helping us on our healing journeys.
Absolutely. Thank you so much.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast. Available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.